Now, I knew that I disagreed with him on this, and I knew that Jesus was the only way to God. But I was actually a bit lost for words at this time. It was the first time I'd encountered someone in conversation who had this philosophy of life. I knew deep down it wasn't right, but I couldn't think of anywhere to point to at that time. Anyway, I mumbled something to him about not agreeing with him, made a quick exit. But I haven't forgotten that encounter. Down through the many years that have been since then, it essentially got me thinking of a very important question. And that question is a short one. Why Jesus? Why Jesus? Why do I think that Jesus is so special and so unique? What is it about this man, Jesus, who lived and breathed 2,000 years ago? Why do many of us here tonight, if not all of us, think that Jesus is the only way to get to God? Because, I mean, to many, making that statement in itself is very contentious and might seem very presumptuous. You think you know the only way to God, do you? And it's a question that gets flung at the Christian faith quite a lot. Time and time again, how can you say you're it? Well, a wee while after my encounter with the Hare Krishna guy, I was reading the Bible and I realized that it wasn't actually me making the claim that Jesus was the only way. And I do believe that's the case, but it's not something that I should feel backed into a corner about when someone says that I'm narrow-minded in saying that Jesus Christ is the only way. Because, as I said, it's not actually me making this claim. It's Jesus Christ himself who makes the claim. So let's read, as we look at this topic, let's read from John chapter 14. And we'll see what Jesus Christ himself has to say about who and how we can get to God. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Let's read verse 6 again. And Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So there's some pretty big claims there, yeah? Some pretty definitive claims. And they're from Jesus Christ himself. First up, Jesus says that he is the way. And he adds to that, that no one can come to the Father or to God except through him. Now the disciples didn't quite know yet, but we do, looking back, that Jesus was leaving them to prepare a way for us all to come to God. From the first man, from Adam and Eve, right through to us, here and now. We have all been separated from God by our sin. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says that everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Because of God's holiness on the one hand and our sinfulness on the other hand, there doesn't seem to be a way back to him. But God has a plan. And the way back to him is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ claimed to be the way to God stands in contrast, I think, to a lot of what we see today going on. Today we see a lot of what seems to be a bit of a religious smorgasbord, really. You see before you a large selection of religious ideas and spirituality. And the idea is you can just pick and choose from whatever you want, mush it all together, and get your own purpose-built religion. A bit of Eastern mysticism over here with a bit of Buddhism from over here mixed together with the idea that whatever's right for you is right for you and no one's going to judge. C.S. Lewis comments on this in his book, The Screwtape Letters. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with The Screwtape Letters, they're a collection of fictional letters supposedly written by a devil or a tempter who's named Screwtape. And he's writing to his young nephew named Wormtail, who's just learning the ways of tempting and leading people away from God. During one part of the book, Screwtape comments, if you can once get him, i.e. us, to the point of thinking that religion is all very well up to a point, you can feel quite happy about misleading his soul. A moderated religion is as good for us as no religion at all, and more amusing. You got that? A moderate religion, or a religion that has no substance to it at all, is not just pointless, but it can be used to lead us away from God. Jesus, on the other hand, leads us back to the one true God. The next phrase that Jesus uses in verse 6 is that he is the truth. And truth is, I think, another concept that gets thrown around a lot in our society today. Many cultures down through time have struggled with the concept of truth. Without getting into too much politics, there is one particular current president who has a catch cry of fake news, which constantly questions the validity of news or truth in today's media. The fact checkers in America are currently working overtime, trying to work out what's lies and what's truth. And here in New Zealand, our politicians themselves constantly getting caught out, routinely with questions about who knew what and when, who texted who, when they did it, and who knew about what. But truth is also, I think, seen as relative as well. Some will say that what is true for you may not be true for me. When people say things like, well, that's fine if God exists for you, but he doesn't exist for me, they are expressing a popular belief that truth is relative. But no one really believes that all truth is relative, right? No sane person says, gravity is true for you, but it's not true for me, and then proceeds to jump off a tall building, believing that they won't get hurt, unless, of course, they're Elastigirl or Superman. The nature of truth can be tricky, though. Even Pilate had trouble with it when Jesus was brought before him for his trial. In John chapter 18, we read that Pilate said, "So, you are a king." Jesus responded, "You say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." What is truth? Pilate asked. So even Pilate was struggling with this, a judge in the Roman Empire. You see, Jesus came into this world to point us to the truth. His teaching and his life are truths that we can hold on to on our journey with Jesus toward God. In John chapter 18, Jesus himself said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So if the truth of Jesus Christ can set us free, then what are we free to do? Well, we are free to live a life with Jesus Christ. The final phrase that Jesus uses is, "I am the life." Earlier in the passage, Jesus was talking to the disciples about having to leave them. And they were getting pretty worried about this. They'd hung out with him for 3 years, with a lot of intense things going on during those 3 years. But he was going to heaven to prepare a place for them. If we read from verse 2, it reads, "There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this was not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am." Jesus promised his disciples, and he also promises us, that there was more to existence than just this life. He's preparing a place for us to live once this life is done. But Jesus' claim to be the life affects us also now and not just in the future. As we follow Jesus here and now in this day and age, he gives us a life with strength that flows from him. He explained this to a woman who came to a well to draw water. Jesus was resting by the well, and John's gospel tells us that a Samaritan woman came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Please, give me a drink." He was alone at the time because the disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for the Jews refused to have anything to do with the Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give them will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." So you see, when we make up our minds to name Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives, he gives us spiritual life that sustains us, just as food and water sustain our physical bodies. And the flip side is also true. Just as our physical bodies get thirsty when we lack for water, so our spirits and our souls get thirsty when we don't know Jesus, or when we don't spend enough time with him, praying and reading his word. We have a spiritual part to our lives, which is often ignored, but to which Jesus wants to get involved with. He wants to help us out. So, to tie these three phrases together, Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father but through me." And as I said earlier, God has a plan to restore our relationship with him. And the way back to him is through Jesus Christ. The only way back to him is through Jesus Christ. Jesus, who had no sin, died for us so that our sins could be forgiven. 3 days later, he rose to life again, proving he was who he said he was. John writes at the end of the book of John, his gospel, that the whole reason, the main reason he wrote his book, was so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. That's right at the end of John. So back to that simple question. Why Jesus? To put it simply, because he is the way to God. And if we openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we can be saved. Now, if you want to know more about this, I suggest that reading the book of John is a great idea. As he says, right there at the end, he wrote that book so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. It won't take too long this week to read through the book of John. And if you want to chat later on, feel free to come and see me or anyone here. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all you have to say to us through it. We thank you for Jesus, the only way back to you. I thank you that you did respond to us and you had a plan to redeem us, to restore our relationship with you. I thank you that you carried through with it and that Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross allows us to come back to you. This week, Father, I pray that you will help us to seek you, no matter where we are in our journey of faith, as we seek to know you and as we seek to ask questions and inquire. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us and that our hearts will be open to what you have to say to us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.